Our shoes say something about us. Look at your feet right now. Good. Look down. Are your shoes shiny and new or well-worn? A fashion statement or a testimony to comfort? I noticed Connie's shoes right away this morning. Connie has fun saddle shoes on. Those of you who might remember my mom may remember that she always dressed for church. Her jewelry and her scarf and her handbag all had to match her outfit. And in her younger days, her shoes always matched those handbags too. In truth, one of her regrets as she aged was that comfortable shoes were never quite as fashionable as the pointy-toed, high-heeled beauties she'd worn when she worked in an office. Shoes have been a fashion statement for centuries and centuries, even to the days of Moses. In Egypt in his day, you could purchase a pair of sandals for the price of a sack of grain, which would be a pretty hefty investment and probably not what the average Hebrew slave was wearing. The higher your status, the fancier your footwear was likely to be. Sandals discovered in the tomb of Tutankhamun were decorated with the images of foreign captives on the insoles, as though the pharaoh walked over the people his army had conquered. Talk about a statement in your footwear. When Moses investigates this bush that burns but is not consumed, God instructs Moses to remove his sandals, for he is standing on holy ground. Now, I believe when we hear those words, we imagine he's removing his sandals as an act of reverence. But biblical scholar Carla Suomala wonders whether there is something else afoot here, something besides reverence for the holy, because, as she points out, Moses doesn't sound or act very reverential or awestruck as the rest of his story unfolds. When she spent time in Japan, Suomala experienced the shoe etiquette of the Japanese. Every time you enter a building, a museum, a temple, or a shrine, or a home, you remove your shoes. She did some research into the centuries-old practice and discovered most people cited one of two reasons. One, to keep their houses and floors clean, but also to be able to relax and be themselves. What if God is asking Moses to take off his sandals as a way of saying, drop the pretenses and be your honest self? In truth, it is not clear to me how much Moses actually knows about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob before this day. Moses was born to Hebrew slaves at a time when Egypt's Pharaoh feared the Hebrews even in their captivity because they were so numerous. Pharaoh ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill baby boys at birth as a means of population control, an order the midwives cleverly circumvented. Moses' own mother hid him for 3 months after his birth, but when she couldn't keep him a secret any longer, she wove a basket and waterproofed it and set her infant son adrift in the Nile. A short time later, Pharaoh's daughter spotted this floating basket, discovered the child, and adopted him as her own. Needing a nurse for the child, she found Moses' own mother, who cared for him until he was weaned. Then he returned to the palace and was raised there. We don't know how old he was when he was weaned, probably still a toddler. His birth mother may very well have told him the stories of the Hebrew people as she rocked him to sleep, the stories of Adam and Eve, of Noah, of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Joseph. Perhaps those stories were lodged in the recesses of his memory, but Moses grew up in a household that worshipped the Egyptian gods and goddesses, with names like Isis and Osiris, Horus, Amun, Ra, Anubis, Ptah, and more. It is not clear to us how much exposure he had to the God of the Hebrew people or to their stories. Maybe Moses didn't even know that God the Creator made humanity, made Adam out of the Adama, the mud. Maybe when God says, Moses, take off your shoes, it's so Moses can feel his connection with the creation and by extension with the Creator. Feel the dirt beneath your feet, Moses, the mud between your toes. Sink in, dig in, be rooted and grounded in this holy space. For this ground is holy. Just as all that God created is touched with the holy presence of the Creator. Once this holy time and place are established, God lays out the problem and the solution, giving Moses a holy task. God's people are in misery, suffering in their enslavement. Moses will go to Pharaoh and bring the people out of Egypt. In this space where Moses has stripped off any pretense, Moses speaks truthfully what's in his heart. And what does he say to God? Who, me? And God says, yes, and I will be with you. How often do we take off our shoes with God, our figurative, pretentious shoes? How often are we wholly honest in our holy time with God? Because if I were wholly honest with God this week, my conversation with God would sound a bit like Moses, less awestruck, more doubtful. Because if I were wholly honest with God this week, I would say to God, I am exhausted. I am exhausted because I too see the misery of God's people. And I too hear them crying, and I too am concerned about their suffering. I hear the cries of a war-torn Ukraine and a people who long for their freedom and for their homeland. I hear the voices of the refugees and the immigrants who arrive at our borders and those of other nations begging for safety and security and opportunity. I hear the cries of persons of color in our nation wearied by generations of striving to be judged not by the color of their skin but by the content of their character. I hear the fears of environmental activists, and I see how the rising sea levels are threatening places like the Pacific Island nation of Tuvalu. And I hear the cries of 30 million people in our world who go to bed tonight, not just hungry, but starving literally to death. And I hear and I feel the anger and the outrage in our own nation as politicians turn vulnerable people's lives upside down with the swipe of a pen, making and unmaking laws. And my heart hurts, and I'm exhausted. And in my holy place, on my holy mountain, shoeless before God, I wonder how the words of Isaiah could possibly pertain to me. Who am I that you, God, should send me into this world as your messenger? How do I proclaim peace to a warring world? What good news do I have for a world in pain? And in this holy space that God and I share, God says, take off your shoes. Feel the ground solid beneath you. Know that I am the one who created it. I am in it as I am in you. I am the foundation of your faith. I am the roots and the breath of your life. I am with you and will go with you. And then I realize how much I need this holy space, this shoeless, honest time and place. And I hope you realize it too. I hope you pursue it wholeheartedly, this holy space. I hope you return to it over and over again, wherever it is, whether that's on a mountaintop or in your backyard garden or a corner of your bedroom. Find your burning bush, sacred space, because like me, like Moses, like Isaiah, You too have a sacred task that God gives you, to go into the world as a messenger who proclaims peace and brings good news and proclaims salvation. let your feet, your beautiful feet, bring good news, proclaim salvation, connect with the holy. God will meet you there. God will strengthen you there. God will go with you from there to bring good news to the world. And the world surely needs some good news. Amen.